The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant Ezra Creed and public relations consultant Ellen Schulman.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Forum for Nonprofits. I'm especially excited because I have my co-host with me, Ezra Krieg. This is Ellen Schulman, and I am very pleased to welcome representatives from an organization called Firewall Centers. And I'm sitting here with Andy Fernandez. He's the executive director. So, Andy, tell our listeners what Firewall Centers are. It has nothing to do with fire, correct?
That is correct. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ezra. I appreciate you having us on today. Firewall actually comes from the whole concept of helping kids after school, protecting them from their environment. Firewall, the name itself comes from a Bible verse, actually, where it says God will be a wall of fire. And what we wanted to do was protect students after school from the influences that are many times come in their lives, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's making wrong choices. We start with them in middle school. So we run right now 4 after-school centers for middle and high school students. We're there for them all week, four days a week, Monday through Thursday, right after school, helping them with homework, developing their character. We're working with about 150 students right now.
And you're located actually within schools. Only in Broward County right now.
Right now we're only in Broward County. We have one center that is in a school. That's in Pompano Middle. And then we've got 3 other centers that are in community centers where we've partnered up with the cities to be able to run our centers there.
And how long have you been doing this?
This whole organization started way back in 2003. It began, I was running my own business back then, and a 13-year-old girl died of a overdose of heroin inside of a mobile home park. She was only 13. And it was one of those moments where you say, well, I've got to do something about this problem. And I went into this mobile home park in Davie, Florida, here in Broward. And we just started meeting out there once a week with the kids and just trying to make an impact, mentor them. And from that, it developed. And in 2005, we started the after-school programs because we really saw that it wasn't enough to be there once a week and be an example and work with them a little bit. It really needed that day-to-day. And it needed that academic component so that they would have a future, and it wasn't just a short-term relationship.
So what happens when a kid gets off of school? What happens? What's the process?
Depending on whether the center is inside the school, which all our future centers we're planning on being inside schools, they come right to our center. They have a snack. It gives them time to unwind, let out some energy. It really is a time for them to develop relationships with their peers as well as with us. They'll sit down. We'll have an assembly. That assembly is like a 5-minute time. It's a rah-rah, you got to get your grades up. You got to do this. You got to do that to make sure that they're moving forward. Have a little bit of time to once a week where we teach them a little bit about just developing their character. We have our own curriculum. It's around the word think, where they've got to think. They've got to take charge of their life. They've got to have a plan. They got to involve the right people. They got to have that consistency, which is never quit. And then we really teach these young people that they got to keep giving back.
How do you select the kids?
Most of the kids that come either because of one child bringing in another child. I don't think middle schoolers would like to be called children, but one youth will recommend another. But most of our students will come from the teachers, the principals, the counselors, the social workers in the schools will send us the kids that they think would fit in well with our program.
Have you ever had to turn a child away?
It does happen because we're very much we're very structured. So we want the students to come in and relax and have a good time. But we also want students that want to make an effort. And we really push that component. So we've got some kids, unfortunately, and we'll work for them for a long period of time to try and develop that desire. But if they just don't want to work, if they don't want to do their homework, and those are the kind of students that we just can't work with.
Now, the students come, you have this assembly, and then it's homework time on their own, or is it tutors, or what happens?
What's really cool about what we do is that we do something that a lot of parents do. In Broward County, they have something. It's an online gradebook. It's called Pinnacle. And I'm sure in Palm Beach, they have Edline, where as a parent or as a student, you can go on the computer, check the student's assignments, grades coming up, what they got. So what we do is every day for our staff, check the student grades, see what they haven't turned in, see where they're doing well. And all our staff, well, I shouldn't say all. Most of our staff are college students, part-time staff, where they're familiar with the curriculum. They're good role models for the students. And then we have a really small student-to-staff ratio. With middle school and high school, you're allowed to go to 20-to-1, 25-to-1. We're about an 8-to-1, 10-to-1 ratio, which really lets the students get the individual attention that they need. And it's really cool because the teachers themselves and the principals love the program. Because it's not just about working one area. It's working about what makes the student better, which is their attitude and their focus. And once these kids get the realization that they can do the work, then their confidence builds up and it all snowballs into a successful student and a successful life.
Do you have a formal way to track success? I mean, since you've been doing it since 2003, what kind of success have you found?
Really, what's happening is that even Broward County is now moving towards outcome-based measurement. And all that we measure is what really matters to students, which is their ABCs. Attendance, are they in school? Are they in the program? Behavior, are they getting suspended? Are they getting in trouble? And course performance. What's their GPA? What are they graduating? And we measure all of that. In this past school year, we had 86% of our students either maintain or improve their grade point averages.
Wow.
And that's in core academic subjects. We're not measuring necessarily the art and things like that, but the English, the math, the social studies, the science. And one of the things that we're really most proud of is the components that we talk to them about giving back. And we all know that as low-income students, which is what we're dealing with predominantly, they're used to kind of receiving a lot. And giving back is something that's not a part of their mentality. And our high school program, we only have one high school program at this time, with only 30 students last year, did 1,900 community service hours.
Wow.
And that's a part of everything that we do.
So during a typical week, how much time are you spending with these kids?
They're there from right after school, which is generally going to be somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock until about 6 to 6:15, 6:30. So it's a long time. And what we do is we make sure that other than the 5-minute, 10-minute assembly time, that the rest of the time is spent on their work, studying for tests and doing their homework. We're not going to have formal PE. We're not going to have all these other extracurricular, which are good, and they do have some free time to do these things, but that's not our focus. Our focus is on academics and character.
Mm-hmm. Do you partner with any other groups that help kids after school, YMCAs or Boys and Girls Clubs? Or?
Well, formally, we don't partner with anyone in that way. What we do have is like Take Stock in Children, which gives scholarships to college students. Mm-hmm. Many times we've had a couple, and Angela is actually one of them, that received the Take Stock scholarship early in their 6th and 7th grade. We help them through that whole process. So we will cooperate with all these organizations to try and make sure that the kids get the services, not just at school, but at home when necessary. So we do a lot of referral.
Do the students pay anything for this?
No, this is absolutely free. The only thing we ask of the students is that they give their best effort academically, that they work within the structure that we've developed that is going to make them successful, and that they become part of what we call the firewall family.
And just for our listeners' benefit, he mentioned Angelo earlier. We actually are going to meet Angelo in our next segment,
which is coming up now. You are listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today we're speaking with representatives of Firewall Centers. To get more information on this terrific organization, please visit their website at www.firewallcenters.org or call 954-252-0838. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sterile bandage. A sandbag. A doctor. A sheet of plywood. A shovel. A bulldozer. A stethoscope. A cement mixer. An oxygen tank. A bed. A house. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact. It can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most: food, medical services, shelter, and other essential supplies. It can help improve the immediate distress, and over time becomes a crucial tool in rebuilding schools, hospitals, and homes, and getting local businesses back on their feet. A monetary donation is an easy and effective way you can help.
Want to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy? To donate, visit sandy.adcouncil.org. That's sandy.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We've been speaking with representatives from the Firewall Centers, and we heard, if you missed the first segment, from Andy Fernandez, the executive director, who is an example of what one person can do when he sees a problem and dedicates his personal life to it. It's really amazing. We are lucky to have with us right now Angelo DeFrank. Angelo is actually a former student of Firewall Centers, and he's here to talk about his experience. So welcome, Angelo.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you're a student right now at Broward College.
Yes.
Now, do you think if you hadn't been involved in Firewall Centers, you would be a college student today?
I mean, Firewall took me in when I was about in sixth grade, and I was a okay student, I guess, but, like, I wasn't really focused on school that much, and I was just, like, one of them typical middle school kids that would always, like, play around in class and stuff and just, like, fool around and not really care about my grades. So when I came to Firewall, it, like, changed my perspective, like, into a whole new level. They would always be on top of me about my grades and stuff. Like, they had the Pinnacle grade book starting, and they would always be on top of me, like, they'd always be like, oh, why didn't you do this assignment? Why didn't you do that assignment? And I wouldn't even have an excuse.
Did that feel good to you or bad to you? Did you want to keep going, or what was that experience at the beginning?
It was new. I mean, it's like another set of parents coming at you, but it was like, it's really good because it like taught me like to do my assignments and actually helped me through where I am right now.
Did you come into Firewall as a choice, or were you forced to go?
I think it was like more of they talked to my mom, and then my mom decided for me to go there, and I just went, and what? I had to listen to my mom. I mean, and
what a
I
good
just,
son.
I mean, but it was worth it, so I don't regret not going.
What would you say, because I know I have three middle schoolers, so I know how tough it is just to be in middle school age. What would you say to middle school students today that would inspire them to buckle down a little bit and be more serious about school?
I would say that life is not going to be all games and fun once you get into the higher ages and the higher grades, that sooner or later you're going to realize that you're going to have to really buckle up and get all the good grades and have a future. So better sooner than later is what I say.
That's great advice.
So you started in middle school, and then you went into high school and you continued in Firewall. Did the program change at all between middle school and high school, or was it basically the same?
I mean, I think it changed because, like, at the beginning we were in, like, this little mobile home, and there was only, like, like 5 or 10 kids, and now it's growing like constantly. So now there's like 30, now you see 30 kids in one center, 40 in the other center, and now they have like a whole bunch of different tutors and people to help you with your homework in every different area now. So it's like it's a lot more people and a lot more help.
And in Firewall, you know, the academics are really important. But did you find that you develop relationships with other kids through the program?
Oh, definitely. Some of my best friends right now have came from Firewall. And we've developed, like, relationships from being there, hanging out every day, playing basketball like we used to outside when we were done with homework. And just, like, sometimes do our homework together with the tutors. So, yeah.
And so there was a support that yeah. they provided. That's terrific.
And what skills did you learn in Firewall that have helped you in college now that you're a college student?
Skills. I think to work harder now that I'm in college, take it more seriously, definitely, and study harder, maintain like a time management type thing to where I don't always like just spend my time doing nothing and actually like do my assignments and stuff. And that's just helped me.
So how are you doing in college?
College. I just finished my first semester at BC, and I got 3 Bs and 1 in the classes. I'm waiting to see the grade back, but I know it's passing.
Super.
So that's
good. For you.
Yeah.
Do you know what you want to study yet?
I'm leaning towards business.
Good
so,
for you.
I mean, it's good.
That's great. That's great.
What, well, let's go back to your experience in high school. Or actually, I wanted to find out, are you still involved in Firewall at all?
I've currently been going there for like they even still that's the good thing about Firewall. It doesn't just like stop after you're like in high school and you go through your middle school and high school years. They're always there. They're always available for you. Even in college, like I go there to their center when like before most of the time before all the high schoolers get there and they still help me right now to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
So
do you find that you can help some of the younger kids? Are you a mentor to some of them?
I have. I've done community service at their middle school building before.
Good for you.
Where I've always like helped the kids with their homework. I'm like, hey, I remember doing this, so I might as well give back and help them.
It helps reinforce it for you, too, doesn't
yes.
it? Teaching someone else helps
yeah.
you, too.
I remember it, too.
That's great.
What did you find that through Firewall that you developed interest in subjects that you hadn't been interested in before?
Yeah, math, I guess. I mean, because mm-hmm. math was troubling, and I kind of like it now better than I did, because I got help, like, especially with this one guy. He would always help me and just push me to do better, and I'd learn a lot from him.
How did he push you?
He would always tell me, like, I'd be stuck on a problem. I'd keep doing it over and over again. He would say, don't give up, don't give up. And that's, like, kept reinforcing it in my brain until, like, I would always just, like, do it and just not complain after a while.
That's super.
Did that never quit kind of philosophy at Firewall make a difference in your life?
Definitely, because sometimes I would always feel like, oh, I give up on this class. I give up on this teacher. And then they would be like, no, you have to do good. You just have to keep trying. It will work out. And most of the time, like, basically every time it did.
Did your friends help? Did you help each other? Was there a lot of peer pressure that if one friend felt like he wanted to give up, that you would help pull him up together? I mean, did that help with a little peer pressure?
Yeah, a couple of my good friends that I developed at Firewall, we'd always be like, oh, we can't fail this class. Come on, man. We got to do good and we got to get a scholarship and stuff like that. So that would help.
Good for you. Did you get a scholarship?
Yes. I currently have 2 scholarships right now. Bright Futures, which is a 4-year scholarship. It's the middle one is called Medallion or something mm-hmm. like that. And then I have the prepaid Take Stock in Children, as Andy mentioned earlier, which I got in my middle school years, and I've had to maintain it throughout my whole school.
That's wonderful, because they're all kind of geared toward academics, right?
Yes.
So you have to do well in order to keep your scholarships.
For Take Stock, I would have to maintain all A's, B's, and C's, and I can only mess up like a couple times before I lose it. And Firewall, I could say to this day that I would have lost it by myself if I didn't have Firewall.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Mr. Fernandez talked a little bit about the community service aspect of it. Was that something that was meaningful for you in the program?
Oh, yes, because when I was helping the little kids, I would feel good of like giving them the right answers and helping them to figure out the problems, and it's like, it feels good to give back to somebody else,
right?
Knowing that you know that stuff.
And then you were a role model for them, too.
Like, a lot of kids, like, some of the kids there, they would look up to me. Like, I remember when I was at this assembly one day, like, the end-of-the-year assembly that I had, this kid came up to me, he's like, good job, Angelo, I want to be like you or something.
Wow.
And he gave me a hug, and I was just like, wow, that's crazy. It felt so good, though.
That's a payment you can't put in dollars, right? No. That's really great.
Well, like, that's an incredible way to end the segment. You are listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today, we're speaking with representatives of Firewall Centers. To get more information on this organization that you're hearing does so much, please visit their website at www.firewallcenters.org or call 954-252-0838. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. If you missed the last segment, you missed a great one because Angelo DeFrank, who's a student who spent 7 years at Firewalls, basically said it changed his life. So welcome back, Andy. People, our listeners who heard from Angelo, I'm sure are very anxious to find out how they can help. What can someone do to help you grow and continue to help kids like Angelo?
Well, this coming year, we're moving from our four centers. We're going to be opening up four additional sites. So we're going to be serving over 300 students. And what we're going to be looking for is people to get involved, whether it's volunteering and obviously financial involvement. Our cost, our return on investment, as you mentioned earlier, Ezra, is amazing because it only costs us about $1,600 to support one student for an entire school year. That's individual tutoring, that's their snack, that's an 8-to-1 ratio, that's everything.
And so how does someone donate? Can they go online and donate?
Definitely. They can go online to our website, just hit the Get Involved button, and it'll take you where you need to go.
And so what if somebody doesn't have a computer but they want to write you a check today and they're listening? Where do they send that check? How do they make it out?
They can make it out to Firewall Centers, and our P.O. Box is 551-407. That's Davie, Florida, 33355.
Okay, so that's P.O. Box 551-407, Davie, Florida, 33355. That's for Firewall Centers. Now, not everybody can afford $1,600, but you don't have a minimum donation, right? Every dollar, every penny helps.
We'll take it. We'll take whatever you've got to help us. Obviously, you can break that down by weeks, by months. We're always looking for all kinds of help. Also, drum up more support here this next year to grow four additional sites, we're going to need college students. We're going to need mentors. We're going to need volunteers that can help with homework, preparing snack, all kinds of different things.
Well, I was going to ask you, if I wanted to volunteer, what are some of the things I could do to help?
There's anything from donating food to helping serve the food, to helping students, obviously, with homework on a daily basis. Sometimes it's taking them outside and helping with PE. There's all different types of things, and I would just encourage to get in hold of us, and we'll work with you.
It sounds like a great opportunity for a retired teacher, somebody who already has teaching training, to come in and help mentor the kids.
Absolutely, absolutely. Angela mentioned the one that was always pushing him. That was actually a Nova Medical School student that comes in on whenever he has free time, which is not often, to help out. So, yeah, at every level, definitely.
Super.
Do you need supplies?
School supplies at the beginning of the year and throughout the year, because sometimes people think of the beginning, but we're dealing with a low-income population, and many of our students are not going to get the paper, the supplies, the pens. So throughout the school year, we've got to keep that stuff
flowing.
But your primary objective is financial.
Absolutely. Thankfully, a lot of stuff gets donated throughout the year, and the financial commitment, especially as we're doubling how many students we're going to be serving next year, is a key.
I know there's a great opportunity for corporations to give you grants. You just received recently a nice grant from the AT&T Foundation.
We just received $100,000 over the next 2 years for our college and high school program, and our actually career program for high school students. And that is all because of the measurable outcomes that we're able to produce, the GPA improvements, attendance improvements, behavior improvements, and be able to give them the numbers that matter.
And you said that you're expanding to 4 centers in Broward. Is there any plans to go beyond Broward County?
We expect that as this picks up steam, we'll have 8 centers, and we're continuing. Our growth program is about 1,000 students over the next 5 years that we will be working with every day. And we expect that into Palm Beach and into Miami-Dade, we will be moving also as this whole concept shows the outcomes that people are looking for.
So people who are listening today who are not in Broward County but are find what you're doing is really important, might want to contact you about how they could maybe make it happen in their own community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, graduation rates in Broward County are at 71%. That means 3 out of 10 kids don't graduate. And the Broward County's got an initiative pushing it up to 90. And I think Palm Beach and Dade are on that same bandwagon. What we're doing changes lives.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today, we've been talking with representatives of Firewall Centers. To get more information on this organization, please visit their website at www.firewallcenters.org or call 954-252-0838. For Ellen Schulman, this is Ezra Krieg, thanking you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Krieg, Senior Consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Schulman, President of Ellen Schulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.